I was thinking also that sometimes, you know, we will never say this, but sometimes we as believers think, in a sense, we think too highly of ourselves. And when when we sin, then we realize how really bad we really are. You know, how bad we are. But as I said before, we would never go about and think, we would never say, I'm a good person. We would never say that because we know it's against this, the scriptures. But deep down inside of us, we may actually begin to think that we are good. Deep down, I'm serious, deep down inside of us, but some of us who are brought up in Christian homes who have been sheltered from the world and have never done, I've never done that, I've never gone and done this, but I'm a good person. But sometimes the Lord may actually love, I don't know, I'm not sure how to say this, but maybe by then us sinning and then we see, wow, how bad I really am, it may give me a greater appreciation of the work of the Lord Jesus. I just wonder sometimes.
Well, one thing we do know is that the Lord would never lead us into but deliver us from it. And so that goes back to our responsibility, our responsibility as being the Lord's. It has something to do with, or has everything to do with, the Lord's holiness within us coming out. And so, you know, I think the danger is, for myself, is being too much like Peter. You know, thinking, like you said, that was one of Peter's faults, I believe, is that he thought too much of himself. And, you know, each one of us, I see that for myself. I can be thinking too much of myself. The Lord wouldn't lead me into anything, but he might let me go in order that he could teach me something. No, his ways are so far.
Follow that horse. Follow that. Listen to a testimony at the time of it. The wife of a servant of the Lord, as we called him. And I remember her, my age, and brought up in a Christian home, a very, very upright young lady, and then they things came up with their children. And it was at a family camp at Mountain View, and we were in a discussion group. And she said, well, that didn't come from me. Because I never did anything like that. That didn't, that has to be your fault, your husband. This is your fault that the children are the way they are. They're not what they expected to be. It says, and she professed, he said, this was a hard lesson to learn, to put that point, that it could have been me. This is in me. No good thing dwells in me. When I was such a good person, everybody patted me on the back and congratulated me and all this, what she was doing, and it was all well. And, you know, the spy. One talked about the Apostle Paul was said that so he wouldn't lift himself up in pride. But there's one more issue to that, and that's what we have to watch. That's all of us corporately. That the saints wouldn't lift him up in pride. You know, and then you get too many pats on the back, that's no good. You know, people tell me today, I heard it several times already, that, well, Brother Fritz, he never changes. Well, that's too bad. You know, I wish that there were some change to the better, but so be it.
Pride comes
I know what they mean.
Pride comes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Some people say, well, you know, that is the worst sin that people could ever commit. Maybe something moral for him. And it may be bad. It may be very bad. But let's never forget the very first sin in the universe was pride in the heart of the cherub. And it was Satan said five times, I will, and so on. And God says, no, I will cast thee down to the sides of the pit. Pride is the worst sin. Because it is the chief of sins, it is the beginning of sins in the heart. And when someone is self-sufficient, look up. When you think you've arrived, look up. Because then, and then alone, will you go cascading down. Because God will share his glory with none other. And you must, and that's why I think sometimes he allows us to fall, because a matter of pride, it's not the lie, it's not the moral for failure, as bad as they are, don't get me wrong. But you know, that pride is that which really flies in the face of who God really is. He will not allow it.
We mentioned David and his sin with Bathsheba. One thing I always appreciated from that incident, that was always a lesson to me, is that David himself broke down and prayed to the Lord. Unlike King Saul, who said to Samuel, pray for me. If we see the Lord Jesus as our advocate, how easy it is to say, well, okay, Lord, do what you got to do, or, you know, take it from here. But we're reading in our Wednesday evening meeting, thoughts from Isaiah, and one of the thoughts is, comes out also in Psalm 34, and that is the face of the Lord, well, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Mm-hmm. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Now this one, the righteous cry, the Lord hears and delivers them from all their troubles. This is the verse I'm thinking of, verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such that be of a contrite spirit. And that is so essential, even to the most ardent believer, that we are of that humble spirit, a contrite heart, a contrite spirit. Lord, I need your forgiveness. And then the Lord will say, if I don't, and this goes for the work of salvation as well, for the saving of the soul initially. If a person just believes that the Lord saves, that's good, but I don't know if that's good unto salvation. If a person believes that they're a sinner before the eyes of God and is sorry for that, well, that can lead into full salvation. But that's essential. And so, too, for our sins,